What would make you celebrate wildly, madly, without any restraint? What would get you singing and dancing? In 2002, Americans Angelo and Maria Gallina won the lottery twice in one day. In the morning, they got $124,000, and in the afternoon, it was 17 million. Quite incredible. Angelo celebrated by filling his car with petrol and getting a haircut. Now, that's one way to celebrate. Have you heard about El Gordo, the fat one? This is the huge mega Spanish Christmas lottery. And in 2011, an entire village, Sodeto, in northern Spain, won £650 million. And apparently they got through 70 bottles of champagne. That's another way to celebrate. So what would get you celebrating madly without any inhibition whatsoever? This brings me to Mary's song in Luke chapter 1. Now, Mary was living in a violent world. Herod the Great was not noted for his wit and his bonhomie. He was a very brutal tyrant. Also, there were Roman soldiers, and they could also be very, very unpleasant. By trusting God, by obeying God, Mary would become pregnant, but also she would become a very vulnerable teenager. You see, under the Mosaic law, there was the possibility of stoning. And yet, Mary is giddy with excitement and hope and triumph. You see, this is the Magnificat, Mary's song, her song of praise and thanks to God. Just notice that Mary is very knowledgeable about the Old Testament scriptures. You see, she knows that God is great, and she knows and delights in God, her Saviour. She's aware of the fact that she's a sinner who needs salvation. I'm sure that she knew Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Now, this is a very Jewish hope in the resurrection of the body, living on the renewed earth, a world without sin, decay, evil, and tyrants like Herod the Great. Can you picture it? A world without wars and death, a world filled with delight and celebration. As a woman who was steeped in the Old Testament story, Mary's hope includes both heaven and earth. God's purpose, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, is to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In my view, Mary would have known and loved passages that connected the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, and the healing and the restoration of God's good creation. Isaiah 11 talks about the Messiah as one who will bring peace and justice and delight to the earth. It says the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw with the ox. Infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Mary knew God's promises that one day the whole world would be restored, healed, fixed, and mended. And this gave her great joy. You see, in her song, Mary is both aware of her sin and her need of a saviour. She's also humble before the Lord. You see, God has done great things for Israel and for her. In verse 50, Mary understands the covenant. Those who fear God will be shown mercy. Now, the Psalms are full of this theme. God's mercy is shown to those who hear and obey his word. Psalm 37 puts it like this: a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. This is hope in Yahweh, and it's summed up beautifully here. And of course, Mary's son Jesus picks up this theme in Matthew 5. The meek, the humble, those who trust in Yahweh will inherit the earth. Not just the land of Israel, but the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Verse 51 says, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Clearly, Mary knew the story of Exodus and how God judged proud Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, through those mighty acts of deliverance. We're talking those plagues of boils, of frogs, of gnats. Dramatic, dramatic deliverance of God's people from the land of Egypt. You see, Mary knew that God, the Lord God, could bring down rulers. In verse 52, it says, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. And we can sometimes miss this political theme, the affairs of states and governments, but it's there in Mary's song. You see, Mary would have known about King Ahab and how God judged him. Do you know about King Ahab? Let me tell you the story of Naboth's vineyard from 1 Kings 21. Ahab was the king of Israel during the time of Elijah. Instead of worshipping the true God, he worshipped Baal, and his wife Jezebel was indeed a priestess of this pagan god, for whom they did some quite horrible things. Now, Ahab loved fine dining. He loved beautiful cuisine, posh nosh. And in particular, he loved fresh fruit and vegetables. One day he spotted a vineyard near his palace, and he began to look at the vineyard, and he began to covet that vineyard that did not belong to him, that was owned by a young lad called Naboth. And Ahab goes round to Naboth and says to him, let me have your vineyard, dear Naboth, to use as a vegetable garden, since it is so close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard. Or if you prefer, Naboth, I will pay you whatever it is worth. Now, Naboth was a plucky fellow, and he said, no, Ahab, this land belongs to my family. He knew God's law. And in Israel, the land belonged to God, to Yahweh, but it was leased to every single Israelite who had their inheritance, their piece of land. You see, the land did not just belong to Pharaoh, or to the king of Israel, but it was a gift from God given to each family. So different from the land of Egypt. Now, I believe that Mary knew this. So Ahab goes home, lying on his bed, sulking, unhappy, refusing to come down for his posh nosh. His wife, Jezebel, quizzes him. Why are you sulking, dear husband? Why won't you come down for your steak au poivre and a beautiful tarte au pomme? Ahab is close to tears. Naboth is a rotter, bounder, a cat. Call yourself a king, replies Jezebel. Cheer up, I'll get your vineyard for you. So Jezebel, the pagan priestess, frames Naboth, falsely accusing him of blasphemy, and he is stoned to death. And Ahab goes down and takes hold of the vineyard that does not belong to him, but had belonged to Naboth. And then the Lord God speaks to the prophet Elijah, and he challenges Ahab in a wonderful confrontation. And he says to the king, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? And then Elijah goes on to tell Ahab that his house is being judged and that Ahab would be put to death by the Lord. And later, in a battle, Ahab dies. An archer draws a bow at random and Ahab is dispatched. See, this is a key theme in Mary's song. Yahweh, the God of the Bible, is on the side of Naboth, the innocent, ordinary, humble geezer, and opposed to the rich, pampered, power-mad ruler Ahab. Moving on to verse 53, it says, he has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. Now Mary would have known the story of how Elijah helped the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. Elijah asks the widow for bread and water during a time of acute famine. Now, the widow only has a bit of flour and is preparing to go home for a last meager meal with her son and then to die. And then there is a wonderful miracle, a sign and wonder of the endless flour in a jar and the endless oil in a jug. How that woman must have praised God, how she must have praised Yahweh, because she knew, like Mary, that God is merciful and faithful to his promises. In verse 54 we read, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary had a profound knowledge of God because she marinated in the story of Israel. She was soaked in the story, in the narrative of God's faithfulness to his covenant promises. And this brought her delight, her knowledge of Yahweh and his covenant made her giddy with joy and excitement. Now, let's be honest. Today, many people are puzzled by Mary's incredible hope in God. For a few moments, I'd just like to go back to my story about the village that won the lottery in Spain. Small village called Sodeto, not that far from Barcelona. It was a huge jackpot, £650 million, and everyone in the village got at least £80,000. And some of them got more. Some got £1 million, some got £3 million. There was only one man in the village who didn't get any of the jackpot, but everyone else, about 250 people, all got a share. In my work at Thinking Faith Network, I've studied carefully the responses of those villagers. What a contrast with Mary. Some of the villagers thanked their lucky stars. Some thanked fluke and chance. One woman even thanked her dead grandmother. Others thanked fate. And another woman thanked the universe. How tragic. And there are many who simply had no thanks. There was no gratitude at all, just rushing to the shops to consume champagne, which they did, oysters, cars, motorbikes, tractors, and of course holidays in the sun. You see, this is the tragedy of our broken Western world, full of its empty, inane, foolish consumerism. Now, today, let's be honest about this. We don't meet pagan people like Ahab or Jezebel. You don't meet many people who worship Baal or Asherah, the goddess. But every day, we meet secular people who live as if there is no God, as if everything is just physical. Their horizons of happiness are just secular and materialist. These are folk who live in a thoroughly materialist and godless story. For many people today, there is no one to thank when they scoop the mega jackpot. There is no rejoicing and hope for the world, which we see in Mary's song. You see, Mary's song is poignant. Mary's song is inspiring. It's very beautiful. Mary's song is full of faith in God. And of course, Mary's song points to Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, the one by whom God has made everything, and the one through whom God is redeeming and rescuing his broken world. Let me leave you with a question. Why are there so many today who cannot sing Mary's song? For a takeaway, I'd like to suggest that you spend some time this week reading and marinating, soaking in Isaiah 65, verses 17 to 25. The passage begins, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth." Ponder Mary's joy, her faith, and her gratitude to a good God as we look forward to our celebration at the birth of Jesus, our Saviour, our great King.